It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team I work with. That's producer Joe, producer Rachel, and Nicole, and Luke, and Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
And it is an Alan Thomas Friday. Alan Thomas is in studio. We're going to be talking about your essay, which is very, very good and very thought-provoking. And it's Now I Know How the Holocaust Happened. And boy, it's an important piece.
Well, looking forward to talking about it, Kim. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So we'll get to that in the third and fourth segment. Thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their sponsorship of the show as well. And the National Shooting Sports Foundation is a national leader in defending the right to keep and bear arms. Because if you can't legally produce, ship, and buy a firearm, you can't bear it. And, of course, that is right there in our Bill of Rights, in our Constitution, Alan.
I love being here for that show, then.
Yes, definitely. So let's see here. We've got a lot going on, so we're going to go ahead and jump into all of this. Check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. And just to receive our voter's guide, just put your name and your email in there, and you will get the voter's guide. I hope it's a good tool for you as you complete your ballot. We have a recommended list of candidates on the ballot as well, particularly in these school board elections, which are so important. And they're nonpartisan races. Well, they are partisan races. It's just very difficult for many times for the people that really care about students and are good stewards of the community's tax money. Sometimes it's really difficult for them to get elected because there's so much money that comes in from the teachers' union. Speaking of that, on you know, Alan, I am a no on the two Douglas County School Board property tax increases, 5A and 5B, because I think the timing's terrible on it. People are facing high taxes. But I got a text message asked me to vote in favor of them from the teachers union.
Oh, wow. Yep. That's not surprising at all, is it?
No, not at all. So anyway, continuing on, check out my website and the voter's guide there. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's their rights, their property, freedom, livelihood, opportunity, or lives, via force. Force can obviously be a weapon, but it could be policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, or this agenda by the World Economic Forum, Davos globalist elites. So there's a lot going on out there. Let's get over here to our word of the day, and it is nexus. And Joe said that you hear this a lot in video games, but I didn't know that, but it says the means of connection between things in a series. And I had the whole agenda ready last night, and somehow I erased it. So.
Well, I had similar issues with my essay. Two nights ago, I had it all typed up and was proofing it. And then I looked at it and go, there's a whole paragraph missing. And it had gotten rid of my wife's edits and everything. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to be in so much trouble.
That's my reaction exactly as well. And so I think I had something along the line of the nexus of connections between all of the different people regarding Joe and Hunter Biden and the influencers is very suspect, I would say. So I know I'm struggling a little bit on that one. So
yeah, I mean, the nexus of our foreign policy failures seems to be embracing these failed ideologies of progressivism and multiculturalism.
Well done. Well done. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, our quote of the day is from Raymond G. Davis, a United States Medal of Honor recipient. I think I'm doing this from memory now because I erased that part, too. I think he was born in 1915 and died in 2003. And this is his citation. And this was during the Korean War. And it says, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as the commanding officer of the 1st Battalion in action against enemy aggressor forces. Although keenly aware that the operation involved breaking through a surrounding enemy and advancing 8 miles along primitive icy trails in the bitter cold with every passage disputed by a savage and determined foe, I find that interesting. Disputed would be, it would be a lot more than that. Lieutenant Colonel Davis boldly led his battalion into the attack in a daring attempt to relieve a beleaguered rifle company and to seize, hold, and defend a vital mountain pass controlling the only route available for two Marine regiments in danger of being cut off by numerically superior hostile forces during their redeployment to the port of Hungnam. When the battalion immediately encountered strong opposition from entrenched enemy forces commanding high ground in the path of the advance, he promptly spearheaded his unit in a fierce attack up the steep, ice-covered slopes in the face of withering fire and personally leading the assault groups in a hand-to-hand encounter and drove enemy fire to determine the best route for continuing the mission. Just stopping there, I mean, can you imagine?
I mean, it started out conspicuous gallantry, right?
I mean,
just in the face of everyone that's following you to take the lead and to do that is inspiring, right? That's why he's getting a commendation.
That's why he received the Medal of Honor. And I'm sharing these on Friday. There's still more about this. I'm sharing these on Friday. I was doing them every day, and I thought, you know, I think that it doesn't resonate quite as much when I was doing these quotes every day. So it's a special occasion, Friday. So anyway, continuing on, it says, always in the thick of the fighting, Lieutenant Colonel Davis led his battalion over three successive ridges in the deep snow in continuous attacks against the enemy and constantly inspiring and encouraging men throughout the night, brought his unit to a point within 1,500 yards of the surrounded rifle company by daybreak. Although knocked to the ground when a shell fragment struck his helmet and two bullets pierced his clothing, he arose and fought his way forward at the head of his men until he reached the isolated Marines. On the following morning, he bravely led his battalion in securing the vital mountain pass from a strongly entrenched and numerically superior hostile force, carrying all his wounded men with him, including 22 litter cases and numerous ambulatory patients. Despite repeated savage and heavy assaults by the enemy, he stubbornly held the vital terrain until the two regiments of the division had deployed through the pass, and on the morning of 4 December 1950 led his battalion into Hagaru Re intact. By his superb leadership, outstanding courage, and brilliant tactical ability, Lieutenant Colonel Davis was directly instrumental in saving the beleaguered rival company from complete annihilation and enabled the two Marine regiments to escape possible destruction. His valiant devotion to duty and unyielding fighting spirit in the face of almost insurmountable odds enhance and sustain the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. This is what he said, and this is so good for life. It says, my solution for more positive leadership proven in combat is take care of those in your charge, and they will take care of you. What do you think, Alan?
That's brilliant, you know, and it kind of goes back to that, all what you were reading, his brilliant tactical advantage, right? He wasn't just running at the enemy to run at the enemy for courageous purposes, right, for valor and glory. He had a purpose behind it, and he thought about it because he wanted to take care of his men behind him. So that's brilliant.
It reminds me, and I think we'll talk more about this also with your piece, when David Bellavia, who received the Medal of Honor for actions that he took oh gosh, no, I think it was Iraq. He was in basic, you know, house-to-house combat. And so he received the Medal of Honor for actions that he took there. And he said something, and I'm paraphrasing what I remember he said, when he his portrait of valor was unveiled down at the Center for American Values. He said initially it was hate that pushed him on because he'd seen his buddies killed, and he hated that had happened. And he said that hate, though, consumes you. At some point in time, he realized that you don't fight like this because of hatred of the enemy. You fight because of those that you love that are beside you and behind you. And I thought that was really powerful, Alan.
That is powerful. I mean, that's our national anthem, the home of the brave, right? And it's who we are as a country. We're not a country built on hate.
You know, we're not.
We're built on hope and love and opportunity.
And that is so under attack right now with, again, we'll talk about it, multiculturalism, tearing down our country, tearing down these ideas of America. But it is pretty amazing as I really think about it. I mean, well, I guess the Brits were under attack, Australia. Actually, in World War II, you know, they were certainly threatened as well. But there's something pretty unique about Americans that go to other countries and will be willing to put their lives on the line to fight evil. And that is pretty amazing about America.
And our fortune, too. I mean, you know, World War II, we were churning out aircraft like it was nothing else. You know, we were committing a serious amount of resources to the fight, too. And, you know, for all of our talk about how evil capitalism is, boy, it was sure good to have so much capital and to have the manufacturing capabilities we did in World War II. I mean, there's a lot of people that say we wouldn't have won if we didn't have this ability to just churn out bomber after bomber after bomber and just have this relentless attack against the Third Reich. So, you know, capitalism and money has a lot of good to play in the world as well. It's not just this evil pie in the sky thing that a lot of people like to make it out as. It can serve a great purpose in the world, especially when your backs are against the wall.
Well, and capital, what I think is there are those that want to demonize capitalism. What they're really describing is cronyism.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a big difference. Capitalism Huge. Is the free exchange of value for goods and services. So it's important that we always make that distinction. But again, Raymond G. Davis said, my solution for more positive leadership proven in combat is take care of those in your charge, and they will take care of you. Big news here in Colorado, as many of you know, Congressman Ken Buck announced that he is not going to run for re-election. And so there are people that are lining up that have been kicking the tires on possibly running for that congressional seat. But Deb Flora, who was a candidate for U.S. Senate, has, I think, officially thrown her hat in the ring. And I love what she said in her announcement here. It says, Deb Flora announces a run for Ken Buck's seat and says she'll focus on getting rid of communists and terrorists. Well, that sounds pretty good to me.
You know, it's sad that you even have to make that distinction nowadays. You know, you remember a time where if you were a communist, it was like wearing the red scarlet letter on your chest. And Now it's like a badge of honor almost in these colleges and universities. But that's great. That's fantastic. And I sure hope she wins. We supported her in her first when she was running for Senate a couple of years ago now. But
I think she's a good candidate.
She's a great candidate. She's well spoken and she definitely fights for what she believes in.
Mm-hmm. And she really stands up for children. Mm-hmm. And boy, we have a responsibility. That's something also about the American idea. Is standing up for children, protecting our children. The show comes to you because of great sponsors. One of those is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs, and great specials for lunch and Monday through Friday. And in fact, Kurt Gerwitz and I are having our monthly lunch at Hooters Restaurants on Monday. So that will be a lot of fun. I always enjoy that. And how I got to know them, it's an important story about freedom, free markets, and capitalism, and overreaching PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team is a sponsor of the show as well, and they're my insurance agent. And they just really strive for excellence, but they know that they're there are unknowns that can keep you up at night, and that is why the Roger Mangan Insurance Team can help with your life insurance and health insurance needs to replace lost income. So call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday. It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's kimmunson.com. The voter's guide is there with a deep dive analysis of why to vote no on Prop HH, Prop II, and why I'm a no vote on the Douglas County School Board or School District tax increases as well. So all that is at my website. And also recommended list of school board candidates as well as some mayoral candidates and city council. On the in studio with me is Alan Thomas. We'll be talking about his essay here shortly, Now I Know How the Holocaust Happened. But on the line with us is Max Garcia, and he is a candidate for Aurora School Board. Max, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me once again. You're awesome.
Well, it's great to have you. And again, I recommend that people go to my website. There is a recommended list of school board candidates throughout the state. But Max, you've stepped forward to run for Aurora School Board. And for those that didn't hear your previous interview, tell us why.
Well, as a teacher and a coach and, of course, husband and father of three daughters, getting from the private sector and teaching into the public sector last year, as well as coaching, which I've done for many years, I realized something's wrong, and we need a change for the positive when it comes to what's being taught in the classrooms and how it's being taught, and getting back to the basics, reading, writing, math, and science. They have gotten so far away from what kids need to learn and put their focus on their agenda, whether it's social or cultural or gender identity stuff. And we cannot stand for that as Christian believers, as strong Bible-believing folks. We need to take a stand and make a difference. And so I got involved.
Well, I think it's important, and I really think that the big, broad middle of America, and that would be moderate Democrats, unaffiliateds, libertarians, Republicans, conservatives, the big, big middle, they want our kids to know how to read and write, do arithmetic, and we're shocked to see how much money has been going into education, but yet the results are very dismal for our kids, and we're letting them down, Max.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm not going to go on a rabbit trail, but I want to share a quick story, if I might. I got an email from a constituent, a voter in Aurora Public Schools yesterday, and I actually called her up, and she was startled. I didn't expect a phone call from you. I just wanted a response in regards to what they call IEPs, and which is an educational plan for students with either disabilities or with learning disorders of such. And when we got done talking, and it was a 40-plus minute conversation, this wasn't a high and a bye, Kim. She, knowing my conservative views and values along with my desire to see education priority number one, along with safety, parent rights, we touched on all these things along with school choice. She told me, look, historically in the past, I have not voted with you, but this time you have my vote, because now as a widow and as a single mom with children in school, they have done me wrong, and they are not teaching the kids what they need to be taught, and they're shuffling us off to other schools to hide the discrepancies and the lack of proficiency that is obviously apparent in our schools today and the classrooms.
Well, and there's been a lot of, I think what people don't realize is our taxpayer money is being used to push these radical ideologies. And while they're doing that, they're taking time and resources instead of our kids knowing how to read, write, and do math. So generally, how much money, what is the budget for Aurora Public Schools, and what's the proficiency ratings regarding reading, writing, and arithmetic?
Absolutely, Kim. So the overall budget, the annual budget for Aurora Public Schools is over a half billion, with a B, dollars. $609 million is allotted to the Aurora Public Schools to do not only the teaching, education, administration, security, and so on and so forth, but one of the variables that is not spoken of enough is the DEI and the cultural teams that have been put in place. And I do understand the reasoning behind that, but I think it's absorbed a great deal of the budget. Along with that, we have spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, on outside consulting firms or programs that are not proven to tell us what we're doing wrong or how can we do it better. And we need to look to teachers, we need to look to parents, to students, to principals, and to even some of the deans that are dealing with the behavioral issues within the classrooms and hallways. That's where we need to focus. We need to look within and not to spend hordes of money on programs. And you know what? In the conversation I had with this young lady yesterday, she outright said it. She told me, look, whose friends are these people, those consulting firms? She was saying that people are playing favorites. And, I'm not going to say there is fraud going on, but there, when she can question, she's an educator. By the way, this woman is an educator of 26 years. She's not a neophyte, a green tree to the educational system or process. And she herself is calling it out.
Wow.
Proficiency, please. We don't have enough time this morning. Let me give you some numbers real quick, Kim. We're talking about schools. By the way, there's 38,000, roughly 38,000. I want to correct myself. Last time I gave you a number much higher than that. But 38,000 and some change students within the Aurora Public Schools.
Okay.
There are 58 schools in Aurora, and 20 of them elementary, 5 middle school, and the list goes on. 9 high schools, some of those are magnet charter schools. But here's some proficiency. Middle school, West College Prep, we're talking, 12 to 13% proficient in English and less than 8% in math. If you look at charter schools in Aurora, Axel, 26 proficient in English, 8% in math. Global Village, another charter school, 20% proficient in English, ELA, and 10% in math. It gets, unfortunately, doesn't get better at points. We're looking at, you're talking about situations where we have Crawford Elementary, you know, K through six, 7.7% proficient in English, 6% in math. Let's look at that on the converse. We're talking 93%. 93% of students are not proficient in English and 94% in math. That's unacceptable. And those numbers, and don't get me wrong, there's some highlights there. I have to compliment some of the schools who have done so well. You're talking about Aurora Quest, K through 8, 88% proficient in math, 85%
good
in English.
Okay.
And there's high schools. You know, we have a high school that is William Smith. They are proficient to a graduation rate of 97%. Let me tell you why. 375 students, smaller classroom sizes. The ratio goes from 16 to 1. Teacher to student ratio probably goes a lot less than that. And that's what we need to do. We need to look. When you're talking 30 or 40 students in a calculus class,
right,
how can a teacher be effective? Sorry, I went a little long,
yeah.
Jim. I'm very animated when it comes to that.
Well, and if a lot of money is being spent on outside consulting firms, that seems like it's a wrong use of prioritizing spending on that. So, and I don't think there's any reason why these numbers, you know, can't be those high numbers across the board. I think as community members, as I hear these proficiency numbers, it's like I think we want our money back. I mean, we've been spending money, and and we're letting these kids down. I think that's the bottom line. And one of the candidates that I had on, Max, said something again, and I've quoted it many times now. If kids don't know how to read and write, they're destined for a lifetime of only working for people that do know how to read and write. And so we have a responsibility that every child can read and write, and every child is capable of doing so. So how can people get more information, and what's your final thought you'd like to leave with us today, Max Garcia?
Absolutely. So you can obviously visit my website, Max Garcia for APS.org. Once again, that's Max Garcia for APS.org. Kim, we are still in need of some funds. We'd like to run some last ads on Facebook, Nextdoor, and do a text blast. Listen, I have been going up against the teachers union, and we have been blessed by Ready Colorado, who has put out four amazing flyers, mailers on my behalf. And yesterday one came with Coach Garcia, because I'm not only a teacher, I'm a coach. And it's been amazing. I've been blessed by God for their provision. And, you know, one last thought I'd like to leave you with is a portion of scripture out of Mark, which is Mark 4:22. As I was reading once again this morning, and I'm not just saying that put myself on a pedestal. I really believe the Word of God is the foundation for all godly living, and even something that's missing in our schools. But Matthew 4:22 says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should be come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." And you know what? Basically, I believe that God is going to use me mightily to bring about righteousness and godliness and accountability to the board for the sake of the children and their parents. And so I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by what we're about to see happen.
Okay. Well, Max Garcia, thank you so much. Again, that website is Max Garcia, the number 4, APS.org. Correct? Did I get that right, Max?
That's right. And any amount of donation, $5, $10, $50, whatever you can do will help us finish strong.
Okay. Max Garcia, thank you so much. And again, Election Day is next Tuesday. It's too late to mail your ballot, but you'll want to be getting that in. Max Garcia, thank you so much.
Absolutely. God bless, Kim. Have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you. And I did not mention it when I was talking about our quote of the day, but I was taking that from the great little Medal of Honor quote book that is published by the Center for American Values. As we're getting into Christmas and Hanukkah season, it is an excellent little gift, and it is so inspirational. And the Center for American Values is focused on honoring our Medal of Honor recipients, and also they're creating great educational programs. Most recently, a K through 12 online civics program. They're non-political. They're focused on these foundational principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism. The center is open 7 days a week, 10 to 4, and it's located on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo, Colorado, which Pueblo is known as the home of heroes because there are 4 Medal of Honor recipients that grew up in Pueblo, Colorado. So again, that website is AmericanValueCenter.org. Be sure and check that out. And the sponsors that I have, I know each and every one of them personally. They strive for excellence. And one of those great sponsors is Karen Levine.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N, .com.
It is Friday. Welcome back to The Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. In studio with me is Alan Thomas, and we're going to talk about your piece that we're going to publish in the newsletter this weekend and have on the website, Now I Know How the Holocaust Happened. And October 7th, Hamas attacked Israel and killed, 1,300 people?
1,400.
1,400 people. I mean, this is unbelievable. And then what's happened in the reaction here in this in the United States has been
heartbreaking.
So, okay, let's go through this.
Yeah. So you know, it kind of started out, you know, for well over a month now. Just this heaviness of my heart, just about this whole situation, has been happening, and it reminded me back when I visited Washington D.C. for the first time, and you know, of course, like many patriotic Americans, I was excited about the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and getting to experience this American nostalgia. But one of the most impactful places we visited was the Holocaust Museum. And I've always been particularly drawn to World War II. I love their aircraft. I love stories of their fighter pilots and the bravery and the honor. But getting to see the Holocaust up close just had this deep impact on me. And there were a lot of different exhibits that, you know, throughout the years I've always kind of thought back on. And just this past month, I had been thinking particularly about the first floor that you visit in the Holocaust Museum, because they have different floors for different times throughout the Holocaust. And the first floor was kind of the precursor to World War II. What happened in Germany? How did Adolf Hitler rise to power? And then how did he then subsequently use the force of government to start to enact his final solution? And there were really three different parts of it that always struck me deeply. And you know, one of them was the use of propaganda, how well they use the arts, literature, the media, radio, films to create indifference and hatred towards the Jews. The other was disarming the Jews and the way that they used gun registration and then confiscation to get the public up to this point where they felt capable of spitting and beating Jews in public. This labeling, you know, this grouping of Jews and creating an us versus them always stuck with me. And then, you know, the one that really particularly hit at the time was also how colleges and universities took an indifferent view towards all of this and how they really largely stood back and did nothing. And that always disturbed me because, you know, I went to college and I like to think that I'm an educated person and that I got to go there to learn how to think, to learn how to use reason and logic. And for somebody to have a college degree, for these professors who are not just, you know, professors of engineering like most of mine, but, you know, thought professors, philosophy, the liberal arts, these professors who have read Shakespeare and all of the greats, how they could sit back and not take a stand always puzzled me. And it always was something of, you know, how could this really have happened? How could a group of people see these evils, see these atrocities, and allow them to happen? And, you know, diving into one of them, this colleges and universities particularly right now, mm-hmm. Starting to see the parallels has been incredibly disturbing to me and disheartening. And it's been breaking my heart because, you know, back when the Nazi regime was going through, the first thing that the Nazis did when they took power is they went to the colleges and universities and fired the Jewish professors. And there was one story, I think it was in the Frankfurt, you know, the preeminent university in Germany, the Frankfurt University. And there was a preeminent professor, you know, he was the top professor. And when the Nazi official came in and said, hey, we're firing all the Jews, they're gone, get out of here. Everybody turned to look at him, and he looked at this Nazi official, and I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, well, how much money will we get for our research? And the Nazi official said, you'll get whatever funding you need. And just this ability to basically sell his soul for funding his research, to not stand up for any of his Jewish colleagues, the friends that they had likely, you know, invited to parties and had dinner with, just to allow them to walk out the door, to get fired for no reason other than their race, was disturbing. And now we have this, 130 professors from Columbia citing on these pro-Hamas student-led protests, and 130 professors are saying, hey, these students need to be protected, and not having one single professor publicly come out and saying Hamas is evil, this is an evil event that's happening, and not standing up for the Jews in our world it rocked me, because that's not something I expected that we would see in America. That's not something I believed could happen, but, you know, we should have seen it coming. Right, we should have seen this immoral college university system the way it is, because for years now they have been policing thought. You know, they've mm-hmm. been refusing conservative speakers. They've been calling it hate speech. They've been doing this, that, and the other. They have idolized and religiously adopted the doctrines of progressivism and multiculturalism to a degree that now they can stand up for a Hamas organization that is willing to brutally rape women, that is willing to behead babies. There was a report, I think this past weekend, that they found footage from a Hamas terrorist of baking a baby alive in an oven. these evil acts, and somehow they are using these ideologies to justify Hamas and wanting to stand up for these students who are standing up for Hamas.
Well, and these kids have really been indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. And I have seen some interesting headlines that Dr. Carol Swain was the keynote speaker at the Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week, conservative professor, and she retired from Vanderbilt. But she said, at the end of her speech, she said, donors, you may like the football team or whatever, you've got to quit giving money to these universities. And finally, we're starting to see some. I saw University of Pennsylvania, I think a billionaire that was on the board of Harvard said that he's no longer going to be giving money to Harvard. And so a few of the universities have changed their tune just a little bit because of money. This is it's not because of they believe in, you know, what is right and what is wrong.
Right.
It's because of money. And Hamas is evil. The Jews are God's chosen people. I'm struggling. We talked about it in the elevator up. Is I don't trust Joe Biden. I can't quite figure out how the Israelis missed it, that there was going to get, you know, from their intelligence standpoint, because they're supposed to be pretty good at this. I can't believe we could miss it. And so I'm concerned that they're using this to try to propel us into war. I'm concerned about that, Alan. What do you say to that?
You know, there's a couple of things. And, you know, I can take my Christian beliefs out of this, right? I can believe that the Jews are the chosen people. But even beyond that, their existence as a state, you know, we sat here as America and said, we the people, you know, we have these natural rights, and we have these natural rights as a country as well to defend ourselves, right? That's the number one purpose of our government, actually, is to defend our nation, to defend our borders, and to defend our citizens and their right to live and to pursue happiness. And so I can sit back and I can sit here and say, you know what? I'm not exactly sure what Biden's doing with all this. I'm not exactly sure how we miss this. But these acts of barbarianism deserve retribution. That Hamas deserves to not be allowed on the planet at all based on their attack on the state of Israel. The state of Israel deserves the right to defend themselves, because as soon as you take a gun out of a victim's hand, it gives the bully a complete ability to attack them and terrorize them as often as they want. And to see the UN's response to all this, to have the UN say, no, you shouldn't be going after Hamas. This is a regional conflict, right? To have all of the acts of Hamas say, oh, well, they're justified because actually, you know, Israel terrorized Hamas first is sickening, because none of those 1,400 innocent civilians deserved
right.
the acts that were performed on them. None of them did. None of them deserved to. I mean, there were towns where they went door to door and shot people and took them hostage and stole their life away from them. So the state of Israel deserves the right to go in there and say Hamas is evil. We can clearly see that these are evil terrorists that have no rational moral fiber to their being. We deserve to eradicate the world of them. And to prevent the Jewish people from standing up for themselves, again, harkens me back to one of the exhibits that I saw back in the Holocaust Museum, where I literally took a picture of it with my phone. It had a couple carbine rifles, and it said, you know, here was the resistance force. Here were a couple of the rifles that several of the Jews used that secretly kept their rifles that, you know, back originally when Hitler was going through and saying, okay, if you're a Jew, you have to wear a Star of David. And then he said, okay, if you're a Jew, you need to register your gun. We need to know exactly where all the guns are. And then he went through a little bit later, right? Naturally, here's the natural order of a tyranny. He goes through and says, okay, well, now I know where all the gun owners are. you're voluntarily going to have to turn your guns in. Or, you know what, if you keep your gun, you're probably a Jewish terrorist, right? And he confiscated all the guns. And then shortly thereafter, you know, when we look back on history, they claim Kristallnacht was not organized, and now we found out it absolutely was, the Night of Broken Glass, mm-hmm. when the public just came in and terrorized all these Jewish businesses. Well, why did they do that? Well, shortly before that happened, the gun confiscation happened in Germany, because all a bully needs is an innocent victim who can't stand up for themselves.
Right.
And so as soon as all the guns were confiscated, it's no surprise that Kristallnacht happened. And it's no surprise that the Jewish people no longer had that means to protect themselves. And although this was on an individual level, this was, you know, businesses and people, we definitely need to apply this principle and concept to a national level, to states, and say, you know what, if the state of Israel is not able to defend themselves, well, we are doing no better than what the Nazi regime did by preventing them from defending themselves.
Got it.
And that's
from
what
a
our
political standpoint,
from a political
right?
standpoint. And you know, this is where we can definitely start to move into the propaganda that's been happening for a long, long time to make Israel out to be the bad guy mm-hmm. for decades now, even though they're the ones that have been protecting themselves time and time and time again, that they are the ones that have just been saying, we just want to exist. Like, just let us exist here mm-hmm. and let us be free. And Hamas has time and time and time again, Hezbollah, all these terrorist organizations and all of the terror sponsors in the region have basically said, no, that's not good enough for us. You know, Hamas has openly stated, we want no Jews to be
right.
in this area.
And annihilation. And their focus, well, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation about this very, very important piece that Alan Thomas has written. We'll roll that out this weekend. Now I know how the Holocaust happened. And we have these important discussions because we have really great sponsors. One of those is Lauren Levy.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Shooting outside can be limited, but at Franktown Firearms 10-lane, 30-yard indoor range, the weather is always just right. Franktown's range supports handguns, shotguns, rifles up to 50 caliber, and even black powder loads. And safety equipment is provided for free. Since Franktown's range is connected with their gun store, they have a full selection of rental firearms so you can try before you buy to ensure that it's a good fit for you. And if you become a member at Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range, you can even access the range after hours. The range is very well ventilated with fresh air constantly, so you can breathe easy while you shoot. Most importantly, Franktown Firearms is a family-owned and operated gun store. At Franktown, you will be treated with respect as their client because they want you to be confident with your shooting and keep coming back. So use your own gun or try a new one on the range at Franktown Firearms today. Go to klzradio.com/Franktown to find out more. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. Alan Thomas Thomas is in studio. I did want to mention USMC Memorial Foundation will be having an event on Veterans Day, November 11th. That's a week from tomorrow, out at the memorial. And you can get more information by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. My voter's guide is at my website. Alan Thomas, first and foremost, it is inherent. I think our founders knew it. And I think this is where you're really headed on this piece, is it is inherent inalienable right to protect ourselves, right?
Right.
And so with Israel, and there has been a lot of propaganda. I did a lot of research on it many years ago, and there's been pictures of homes that they say were bulldozed by Israelis. And what a lot of people don't realize is actually Jewish businessmen were buying land in Palestine at the time and, you know, wanting to create a place where people could coexist, if you will, Jews and the Arabs. And quite frankly, the Arabs have wanted to continue to foment this fight between Palestinians and the Israelis instead of wanting to try to find some kind of peace.
Well, and it cracks me up, all this cry of apartheid and genocidal cleansing, as if the Palestinian people are the one being cleansed, when it's, you know, when Israel was founded, in their founding statement, they said, hey, we want all of you to stay here. You know, we want all the Muslims to stay here. Everybody's welcome here. Everybody has a right to exist. And you can see that. You know, there are Muslims on their Knesset and in their government. Whereas when you go to the border of the Gaza Strip and Israel, all the Palestinians are able to come into Israel. They have to pass through airport security because, surprise, they want to be check and make sure they don't have pipe bombs on them to terrorize the Jewish people in Israel. But there's a self-imposed ban for Jews to go into Gaza. And the reason is the Israeli military said, we can't guarantee your safety. If you go in there, if you as an Israeli citizen go into the Gaza Strip, we cannot guarantee your safety. And actually, most likely you will die because they hate Jews. They're blatant about it. And it's funny when you talk about this genocide and then you look in the region and you go, well, how many Jews are in Jordan or Iran or Turkey or Egypt or any of the surrounding countries? You kind of realize, well, no, that doesn't quite fit, huh? Because there's basically zero Jewish population in any of those countries, in any of those countries ruled by Islam and all of its wonderful, you know, we'll just call it as it is. You know, most of these Islamic terrorists have radicalized Islam and have taken control of all of these countries and said, we hate Jews, get out of our country. Mm-hmm. And it's not the state of Israel that has an apartheid or a genocidal cleansing. It's all the surrounding areas. And the fact that our legacy media has been defending all of these acts of terrorism for years and years and years is mind-boggling. And the fact that we still religiously cling to their quote-unquote reporting is baffling, because time and time again we find out they're wrong. And you know, the greatest case in point was this bombing of a Palestinian hospital, right? You know, the New York Times immediately jumped on it because the Palestinian Authority said, hey, Israel just bombed a hospital and killed 500 people, and they reported it as fact. They didn't question it. They just said, oh, they're saying it, like they have for years. I mean, you see this if you go back through. Every time they're like, well, 1,000 people have died, according to the Palestinian Authority, you know. So the fact that we jumped on it right away, and then we find out, oh, actually, it was a Hamas rocket that misfired. Oh, it didn't actually hit the hospital. It hit the parking lot. And oh, nowhere near 500 people died. And it's this sort of propagandizing. That is what the Nazi regime did to the Jews, to create this indifference and to create this hatred towards the Jews in Germany. And we're seeing this same propagandizing happened towards the Jews of Israel. And, you know, one of the quotes I have in my piece that I just want to make sure your listeners hear is from Elie Wiesel. He was in his great book, Night, he said, we must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressors, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, not the tormented. And to sit back and say, oh, you know, I can't take sides on this. It's a regional conflict. The media has told me for years I'm not sure what side to take. The time for that has long passed. You know, these were crimes against humanity, what Hamas did. And we need to take a side on this and to not sit back on the sidelines and try and use multiculturalism or moral equivalence to justify staying silent.
Well, it is an important piece. And we do need to stand against evil. I had someone said, or it was one of my relatives said that they had seen a father whose daughter had been kidnapped by Hamas. And in fact, I saw, and this was just riveting to me, there was a young woman, she'd been kidnapped by Hamas, and she was on a motorcycle. There was a terrorist in front of her, and she was in between them. I'm like, this is not going to end well for her. Mm-mm. At all. And this father apparently was quoted as saying, I was heartbroken when I found out that my daughter was actually killed by Hamas, but yet I was relieved. And that just speaks to just how brutal that is. And we must stand against evil. And I do want to make a point. Gosh, when Donald Trump was in office, these bad actors, we saw during the Obama administration that terrorists were actually burning people in cages. You just mentioned this. I read that about that baby. I can't believe it. But terror is on the rise right now. And to your point, we need to stand against it.
And, you know, one way we can do that, November 9th is the anniversary of Kristallnacht and that awful action against the Jews and the start of the Holocaust. Let's go out and show Jews they're not alone in this world. Let's support local Jewish businesses. Reach out to your Jewish friends and neighbors, especially on November 9th. And let's no longer be a silent majority and allow this to happen. Let's stand up for our friends, our neighbors. Let's stand up for natural rights and the rights of Israel and all Jews to live on this world.
Thank you so much, Alan Thomas. And our quote for the end of the show, Susan Kochevar sent this over, is from James Madison. It says, the essence of government is power, and power, lodged as it must be in human hands, will ever be liable to abuse. So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And stay tuned for hour number two.
Rain and lightning wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district. What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome back to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, producer Nicole, Rachel, Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
Alan Thomas has been able to stay in studio for hour number two, and so it's great to have you here, Alan. And this piece that you've written, Now I Know How the Holocaust Happened. And Let's get to quickly our word of the day, and then I do have just a few text messages I want to address here. But the word of the day is nexus. It's the means of connection between things linked in a series. And you had a great sentence. Do you think you can repeat something like that?
Oh, boy. The nexus of our foreign policy failures is Democrats and their commitment to ideologies like progressivism and multiculturalism. And definitely Biden and Obama. You got to throw... There's a different connection there and their failed foreign policies as well.
Absolutely. And during the Trump administration, and again, trial is supposed to be, I think, coming to a close today. It's unbelievable to me that we have Republicans or former Republicans in the state of Colorado that have filed suit to keep Donald Trump off of the ballot here in Colorado, and for them to take away people's right to vote. This cannot be okay with any American. So just take out Trump.
If you take out the name Trump and you just think of the fact that you're able to remove somebody from the ballot, that's more the issue I think you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
As long as they are not prohibited by law and not just like a stretch of the law, like they're trying to grasp at strings and try and stretch the law to fit how they feel about a particular candidate. Well, you don't want that to happen in the future, right? You don't want that to happen to your candidate, say, 10, 15 years from now. Do you want Republicans stretching the strings again to keep a Democrat off of the ballot? Like, you have to look at and that's the brilliance of how we founded our government, was it's this sort of mutually assured destruction, right? Like, if we don't protect natural rights now, then, you know what, one person who violates them now, the pendulum will swing and the next party will violate them. So it's this mutually assured destruction. That's why it's a good thing to protect people's choice and to not use force to do anything.
Right. If they don't want to vote for somebody, fine. But this is a viable candidate, is the leading the pack. And remember, the world was a less dangerous place during the Trump administration.
Cheaper place, too.
And people had more money in their pocket, did have all this inflation. We were energy independent. And the idea that people would sue to try to keep him off the ballot here is mind-boggling. So we need to protect this, as you said. One other thing, and I have not talked much about the squad in Congress. I guess I'm just not surprised. And I guess is it Tlaib and came out in support
Rashida,
of Hamas, and there were those that wanted to censor her for that, and now this is a big brouhaha that some people didn't, and I guess Ken Buck didn't vote to censor her on that. I'm just a little tired of them all, I guess.
Yeah, it gets kind of, and I think, you know, one of the reasons why is they threw insurrection in there because she led the protests in the Capitol, and the people that voted against it said, if you would have just taken out the word insurrection, we would have totally censored her. And again, it's like, why play politics with this? You know, why do you have to bring January 6th into something about Israel and Hamas? Like, Hamas is evil. They've committed these terrible crimes against humanity. We should be censoring any legislature that's standing up for them. Just quit making political statements about other things. Let's focus on what evil is. Let's call out evil. And so, I mean, come on, just... Yeah, she needs to be out of there. And how the citizens of Minnesota put up with her and keep voting her in is, again, one of the great disappointments in our country today is the fact that we, the citizens, have not taken upon our due responsibility to get rid of these legislatures, to get rid of these fossils, these dinosaurs, these anti-Semites, these horrible people in Congress. We've lost our power and ability to vote them out because we're no longer the people that deserve to have the government that our founders created.
Well, and that's why we do the show. mm-hmm. is because we must understand these principles. We have to speak truth into these issues and help people understand these issues so that they can engage in this battle of ideas with their friends, family, and colleagues with reasonable rhetoric. And we get to do the show because we have amazing sponsors. I know each and every one of them personally, highly recommend them. They all strive for excellence. And I'm so pleased to have John Lennon, who is the owner and founder of Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services, on the line with me. John Lennon, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kim. How are you doing today?
Well, I am doing well. And the weather has changed since we last talked to each other. And I'm really recommending that people get Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services out to do a furnace check because you want to make sure you take care of your equipment and then it's working properly. Right, John?
I would agree with that. Yeah, the temperatures have definitely changed and seems as we might have a rough winter, so we want to make sure everything's running and safe and, you know, going to get you through the season.
Yes, and again, taking care of equipment, doing these furnace checks can extend the life of people's equipment as well, and so that's so important.
That is for sure. So, and I know me and you had been talking offline or off air, and the other thing that we really like to do is provide comfort in the home. So with that, you know, we can talk about humidifiers and the added comfort level of our dry climate and adding humidity to the house. If we're running around 35-40% humidity inside the home, then we get a lot more comfort and just feels warmer, moist air feels warmer to the human body. So, you know, that's a huge thing we can do to just bring more comfort to the home. And why we're there doing a humidifier, whether you have one and just need new controls or it's set back up to run properly, we can run through the furnace and make sure everything's operable with that also. So we can do a two-in-one.
Okay. Are they expensive, humidifiers?
It depends on the square footage of the home. So there's a couple different options that we have. All of them are April Air product line. So we've got a bypass humidifier that's can go up to 4,200 square feet depending on the tightness of the home. So it depends on the build year and stuff like that. But then the ultimate is a steam humidifier that requires 220 horse or 220 horse. Sorry, I'm a car guy.
I know.
220 voltage. So with that, we usually hire in an electrician, or if the customer has an electrician they're comfortable with, we let them have their electrician come in. So that drives the cost up a little bit. Just the equipment's a little bit more expensive, and also the electrician. But definitely the top of the line product is the April Air 800 steam humidifier.
Well, and I think it's always good to make an investment in good equipment, though. So I think that and being more comfortable in the home, as people spending more time in their home, I think is so important as well. Now, if people call you for a humidifier or a furnace check, you've got these great little gift bags that you are giving to the Kim Munson Show listeners, right?
That is correct. We've got a few of them left, so for the next couple of appointments until we're out of those, we'll be handing those out to the customers as we show up for their appointment.
Okay, great. And how can people reach you?
You can either visit our website or call us. Website is johnnystubbsservices.com, or our phone number is 720-369-7589. And then just let us know you found us or heard us on the Kim Munson Show to make sure you get that gift bag, and you know, we'll get you taken care of.
Well, great. And I know that it's been a few weeks since we've talked. You and I both have had some different family things going on, so it's great to have you back. And we'll talk to you next week, John Lennon.
All right. Thank you, Kim. You have a wonderful day.
You too. And again, that's johnnystubbsservices.com. And these are such important conversations that we have. And again, I know each and every one of these sponsors personally. In fact, I have a new furnace and air conditioner from Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services. And Roger Mangan is my State Farm insurance agent. And he's been in business for 47 years, helping his clients, taking care of his family, giving back to the community. And you can get more information from Roger. Complimentary appointments on everything at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's insurance team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday! It is Friday. Welcome back to The Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at Kim at KimMonson.com as well. Our voter's guide is at KimMonson.com as well. And Alan Thomas has stayed for hour number two. Great to have you here.
Great to be here, Kim.
And we will be rolling out your essay this weekend, Now I Know How the Holocaust Happened. Very important discussion on that. I'm so pleased to have on the line with me Randall O'Toole. He is the anti-planner. He is working to get rid of government planning in our communities. He's an expert on transportation issues, urban growth, and I want to talk with him about affordable housing. And a housing that is affordable. There's really kind of a difference on that. Randall O'Toole, welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be here.
So last time you were on the show, we got into these discussions. We didn't hit all the points that we wanted regarding housing that is affordable. And yesterday when Karen Levine was on, she quoted some numbers that were astronomical to me, that before a builder even gets a house out of the ground in, I think, Westminster, the cost of rules, regulations, tap fees, all that, is $100,000. And she said it was close to $250,000 in Arvada. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, Randall O'Toole, to figure out that government is making housing very unaffordable for people. How do you address that?
Well, it's a very simple issue. Before about 1970, home builders could build anywhere. Most states did not allow counties to zone. And so if you were a home builder and you wanted to build in Denver or Arvada or anywhere, any city, and the city put a whole bunch of rules on that made it expensive, you would just cross the city line and go out into the county where there was no zoning and very few rules, and you could build large developments. So most new housing from the end of World War II until 1970 was in these large developments, and a lot of people sneered at them. You know, they called them levee towns and things like that. But they built lots and lots of homes, and they sold them pretty affordably. Levee town itself, the average sale price, or the new sale price was under $10,000 for a home, which in today's money was well under $100,000. And so they built lots of homes, and people bought them, people modified them. So, you know, the story is that they all looked alike, but within a few years, people had painted them different colors, put additions on, did different yard work, and so they all looked different. And that made housing affordable because builders were able to use assembly line methods. You know, the Leavitt family would have one crew that would go in and do the framework, and another crew that would go in and do the plumbing, and another crew that would go in and do the electricity. They had one crew that would paint yellow, another crew that would paint blue, another crew that would paint white, and so on and so forth. It was very specific, so they could, you know, get people specialized in what they were experts in and get stuff done really fast. Then the states started allowing counties to zone, and the counties put in lots of restrictions, and particularly in Boulder and Denver and a few other cities, they imposed urban growth boundaries and said, we're not going to allow any development outside of these boundaries. And so you can only develop inside the boundaries. And then the city said, well, hey, developers can't escape us now. They can't go outside the boundaries. So we can start putting in lots and lots of rules that we didn't dare put in before because there's no place else for developers to go. That made housing really expensive. So there's one state in which counties still aren't allowed to zone, and that's Texas. Now, if you go to Houston and you want to build a big development out in the county area where there's no zoning and there's very little regulation, how much does it cost to do hookups, to get all the permits, to special use permits and special development districts and road districts and so on and so forth? How much does it cost for all of that in Houston versus how much does it cost for all of that in Denver, in the Denver metropolitan area? Well, the Denver metropolitan area, you mentioned $100,000. That includes regulatory cost. If you just count the special fees, it probably costs about $40,000 to $50,000 a home. In Houston, it's about $1,800. That's the total of the cost that you need to pay, and basically that's the cost of hooking up to the sewer system. So we've made it really expensive, and that has created a housing affordability crisis. It's of our own making. And so we respond to that crisis instead of saying, well, let's get rid of these rules. Let's take away the power of counties to zone so that developers can build homes for people. We say, well, let's have more affordable housing. Let's have more subsidies to affordable housing. And that's the wrong way to go. That's absolutely the wrong way to go, because more subsidies to affordable housing doesn't make housing affordable for everyone else who doesn't get those subsidies.
Right. And it's so unfair that you could have people in the same, for example, apartment complex, and one is being subsidized by the other person that's paying top dollar and paying taxes. And so that is not making housing affordable for that person, and it is so unfair, Randall O'Toole.
That's right. Often the subsidies come from tax, the property taxes, or they come from taxes. They charge developers taxes on new homes and then use that money to pay for affordable housing. And guess what? That makes new housing more expensive. And if you have an existing home and you want to sell it and you look and say, oh, look, new housing just prices just went up $5,000, so they put this tax on. Well, then you'll charge more, $5,000 more for your home, and so it becomes affordable for everyone else. If you want to get a mortgage, the bank will say you can't spend more than 30% of your income on housing, so all you can afford is a house that costs less than 30% of your income, and that includes property taxes. So if they raise your property taxes to build affordable housing, that makes means that you can buy a house that costs that much less than what you were spending in your property taxes. So all these things make housing less affordable for everyone else and increase the number of people that are getting affordable housing by a very small percentage. Only about 1% of Americans live in so-called affordable housing, subsidized housing. And that's not very much. And, you know, it would take an enormous effort just to increase that to 2%. Now, these kinds of policies that make housing expensive were invented in Great Britain. In 1947, the British Parliament passed a law called the Town and Country Planning Act, that forbade people from building homes in rural areas. So the entire population of, well, all of Great Britain, which is England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, is about the size of Wyoming. It's a little bit smaller than Colorado. And there's about 65 million people in that area. 65 million people in an area the size of Wyoming.
Wow.
And by law, almost all of them are confined to 6% of the land. So they've ruled 94% of the land is rural, and they're not allowed to build there. Well, they've made housing so expensive that almost 18% of all housing in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, is affordable housing, is subsidized housing. So in the United States, it's 1%. In the United Kingdom, it's 18%. That, of course, is putting an enormous tax burden on the other 82% of people to subsidize the housing for this 18%. But it's also put a stigma on, because mostly this affordable housing, people know, they look at a housing project and they say, oh, that's social housing. It's council housing. That's what they call it there. Here we call it public housing. But they know who's living in council housing and who's not. And so there's a social stigma. And they also know that council housing generally isn't as good as private housing. And they also know there's generally higher crime in council housing because it's been designed for crime. They've designed it in ways that make criminals make it easier for criminals to operate. So you end up having poorer housing. And some of these same things are happening in the United States. A lot of the public housing that's being built is high-density, five-story housing projects, and those projects are more susceptible to crime than single-family homes. Almost no public housing, almost no affordable housing is single-family homes, and that's the least susceptible to crime. The reason for that is if somebody's walking in your backyard, you know they don't belong there, or you know whether they belong there or not. If somebody's walking in your hallway in a five-story apartment building, you don't know if they live down the way or if they're a visitor to somebody who lives down the hallway or if they're a burglar that's looking for somebody who is out and whose doorway can be easily unlocked and robbed. So it's a lot easier for burglars and other criminals to operate in this multifamily housing.
Well, I'm talking with Randall O'Toole, and you can find him. He is the Anti-Planner, and he writes extensively on all of these issues. And it's so important that we understand that affordable housing, I really think it's an affordable housing industrial complex is what we have here. And it's making it more and more difficult for people to afford their housing. But it's government housing, ultimately government is about control. And I think that's what we're seeing there. Alan, do you have a quick comment that you'd like to jump in before we go to break? And then we'll be back with Randall.
Well, I just kind of chuckle because, you know, it's a great progressive loop, right? Like, we need to rely on our city planners to plan this affordable housing. But then there's more crime. So then we need these progressive ideas and policies to fight crime, which then will lead to more taxes, which leads to more affordable housing. And it's like, man, this is a bureaucrat's dream right here to get to plan these sorts of things and then create a problem they get to then say they need to solve.
He's spot on, isn't he, Randall?
Yes. And, you know, it starts even earlier. The loop starts even earlier because government made housing expensive. So government created the demand for affordable housing by making housing too expensive for a high percentage of people. If government hadn't started making housing expensive, then we wouldn't have needed even 1% of the population to have to live in affordable housing.
Okay, and that's Randall O'Toole. You can find him. He's the Anti-Planner. We're going to continue the conversation. Alan Thomas is in studio as well. And wanted to mention Dr. James Lyons-Weiler's courses at IPAC-EDU. He's preparing to, or he's taking registrations for the next semester. And it's a great course offerings. You can find all those at IPAC-EDU. That's IPAK-EDU. kmonson.edu. And we were just talking about my great sponsor, Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You can do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
It's fun! It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. We will have Alan Thomas's latest essay, Now I Know How the Holocaust Happened, published in the newsletter this weekend. Our voter's guide is at kimmunson.com as well, so be sure and check that out. And did want to mention the Center for American Values, located in Pueblo, Colorado, on the beautiful Riverwalk. They're focused on two things, honoring our Medal of Honor recipients, and then educational programs where we continue to can instill and learn these foundational values of honor, integrity, and patriotism. They just started a K-12 org, AmericanValueCenter.org. Alan Thomas is in studio. Randall O'Toole is on the line. He's an expert regarding urban planning, transportation, all things really that's happening right here in the Denver metro area. Randall O'Toole, we're talking about the difference between housing that is affordable and affordable housing. Affordable housing is subsidized housing, and it picks winners and losers, gives government more control over people's lives. But one of the ways we got to this discussion is people were told that urban sprawl was a bad thing. But as I look at urban sprawl, I see homes where people are building their lives. But the word urban sprawl had negative connotations, and I think that that was one of the first volleys across the bow regarding making housing less affordable for people.
That's right. And, you know, it's real easy to imagine there's some kind of conspiracy that's creating these problems. There are socialists who think that everyone, or at least most people, should have to live in government housing because the government knows best how we should live. And if everybody lives in government housing, then we're all equal. And they point to Europe and they say, look, 20% of the people there live in government housing. Only 1% of the United States do. And so we must be selfish because we're not providing more government housing. So did they set out initially to make housing expensive so that that would force more people to live in government housing? I don't think so. There's no evidence in the record that that's true. Then there's the urban planners. Urban planners think that if people live in apartments rather than in single-family homes, that they're less likely to drive. And they think cars are evil, And so if they force more people to live in apartments, that there'll be less driving, and so we'll all be better off because there'll be less of this evil cars going around. So when they started out with their worries about urban sprawl back in the 1950s and 1960s, were they intending to force people to live in apartments to get people to drive less? Well, they never talked about driving in those days. They talked about farms and how we were running out of farmlands because of urban sprawl. Now, all of the urban areas in Colorado add up to well under 2% of the state. And back in the 1960s, when you heard all the debate about urban sprawl, it was even smaller than that. Nationwide today, 3% of the nation is urban. 97% of the nation is rural. Today we have about 350 million acres being used for growing crops. In 1980, it was 420 million acres. Probably in the 1960s, it was closer to 500 million acres. It's not less today because of urban sprawl. It's less today because farmers are able to grow more yields per acre than they were in 1960. The yields per acre have grown faster than our population. And so we don't need as much land for growing crops as today as we did in 1960 or 1980. So the whole urban sprawl running out of farmlands thing was a totally bogus. The amount of farmland we have in the United States is about 1.1 billion acres. We only use a third of those acres for growing crops. So we could build all the houses we wanted. You know, everybody in the country could have their own house instead of just every family, and it wouldn't make an iota of difference for farms or crops. Was there a conspiracy? Did they know, the urban planners know, that we weren't running out of farmland and they just used this in order to justify forcing more people to live in apartments? I don't think so. There's really nothing in the record. You can look at urban planning writings in those time at that time. You can look at go to urban planning schools and look at the textbooks they were reading and using to teach students. They weren't quantitative at all. It never occurred to them to even look to see that only 2 or 3% of the land in the country was urbanized. They didn't even know that. There was nothing in their textbooks saying that. It never occurred to them to ask whether people really wanted to live in single-family homes. They just said, well, they're being forced to do it because zoning won't allow people to build apartments, and so people are being forced to live in single-family homes. They'd rather live in apartments. That was what the urban planners told themselves, in public and in private. So I don't think there was any conspiracy going on. I think it was people who refused to look at the data, people who refused to take other people's preferences into account, and they tried to impose their preferences on other people, and then they made bad decisions, and it's put us in the position where we are now, where housing has become expensive in some parts of the country, like Colorado, mainly the Denver area, and Fort Collins, and a few other Front Range cities, but it's not necessarily that much more expensive in Colorado Springs. Housing isn't that much expensive in states like Arizona and New Mexico. It's mainly Colorado and the coastal states where housing is expensive. Texas is still very affordable.
Well, and Rand, did you want to say something, Alan?
Oh, no, I just, you know, George Carlin once said, and I definitely disagree with a lot of what he says, but he said when incentives align, you don't need a conspiracy. And, you know, I think that goes exactly to this discussion. You know, when you create these incentives towards urban planning, towards these progressive ideas and this idea that government knows best what's best for you, you don't need a conspiracy. You just have incentive structures that point towards what they want to get.
That's right. And we started out saying, oh, we're going to save farms. And then we said, oh, we're going to reduce greenhouse gases. We're going to reduce pollution. And then we created the affordable housing industrial complex. So if the Colorado legislature holds a hearing on housing affordability problems, who goes and testifies? Does Karen Levine go and testify? Maybe. But most of the people who go and testify represent groups like Habitat for Humanity or Mercy Housing, members of the housing industrial complex. They make their money from government subsidies to affordable housing. Are they going to go and testify that, oh, we've accidentally made housing expensive by drawing urban growth boundaries around our cities and buying up green belts? Let's reverse those policies to make housing more affordable, and then you won't need to spend so, as much on affordable housing. Of course they're not going to say that, because that would threaten their own livelihoods. That would threaten their own operations. They're going to ignore the fact that we've made housing expensive with urban growth boundaries. And they're going to say, oh, we've got all these people who are desperate out there for housing. Give us money, and we will altruistically dedicate it to people to build affordable housing.
Well, and the fact then that people don't own anything. I mean, property rights has been inherent in the American idea. And so these policies then are making it more difficult for people to make the choice to own their own property. Randa O'Toole, yesterday I had Cynthia Nevison on, who is running for school board in Boulder County. And she said something really interesting is that the birth rate in Boulder County is very, very low because housing is so expensive that young families can't move into Boulder. And I thought that was an interesting a point regarding Boulder, because you said Boulder is one of the most expensive places in the country because of these urban growth boundaries.
Well, that's absolutely right. And it's one of the costs of trying to restrict single-family housing. You know, there's a demographer named Peter Zion, and he has a every weekday he has a podcast about demographic issues around the country, or it's a YouTube video. And he says one of the problems that Russia and China have is a very low birth rate, and it's ruining their countries demographically because there aren't enough people out there to work to pay for the people who are retired. And there aren't enough young people out there to demand new things like housing and cars and things like that. So there's very little demand for manufacturing in these countries. And why is that? It's because both China and Russia decided after World War II to put everybody into multifamily housing. I have a book called The Ideal Communist City. And this book said the ideal housing unit is about 400 square feet in size. So they built thousands and thousands of apartments with a 400 square foot units of apartments. Well, 400 square feet is not big enough to raise children in. And so the people living in these apartments didn't have as many children as people who lived in single-family homes. Single-family homes became increasingly rare in the Soviet Union and in China. And so birth rates went way down. So what's happening in the United States? We have cities like San Francisco where almost 60% of the people live in apartments instead of single-family homes. So the birth rate in San Francisco has gone way down. You look at the number of children in places like San Francisco that have really increased their apartments, and they call them childless cities because there are so few children there. They're closing schools, and meanwhile, the suburbs where people can live in single-family homes or in communities like in Texas, you have much higher birth rates. So the United States, unlike the Soviet Union and China, is an attractive place for immigrants to go to. So we have a lot of immigrants coming to the United States, and you know, you can complain about illegal immigration, but that's one thing that it has done is it has kept the demographics of the United States healthy. We have a lot of young people who are working. We have a lot of middle-aged people who are working and saving money. And so our demographics isn't as bad as it is in Europe or in the Eastern countries where they've tried to force more people into apartments instead of single-family homes.
Okay, Rand O'Toole, final thought, and again, these conversations are so important. We can turn this around, But and I see people from both sides of the aisle once they get into office, local, county, state, national level. But this is, a lot of this, these are really local and county issues. I see people from both sides of the aisle that once they get into office, they forget that instead of working for the people, being representatives of the people, they think they work for the entity. For example, many times city council people, mayors, think that their job is to drive revenue for that particular city or that county, same thing. How can we fix this? I mean, we can fix this, can't we?
Well, I'd like to think we can fix it. You know, Colorado is a special case because there's no state law trying to force people to live into more apartments, more people into apartments. There's no state law that's made housing expensive. Instead, it's the Denver Regional Council of Governments, it's the city of Boulder, it's the city of Golden that have bought all this land for green belts. And so those are the entities that have made housing expensive. On the other hand, in the coastal states, Oregon, Washington, California, Hawaii, Florida, New England states, it's state laws that have made housing expensive. And it's worth noting that in 1988, Florida passed an anti-sprawl law that they called it a Growth Management Act. And by managing growth, they made housing in Florida really expensive. In 2011, the legislature recognized that the Growth Management Law wasn't working, that it was making housing more expensive, and they repealed the law. So we have perhaps 18 states have passed growth management laws. One of them has repealed it, and housing in parts of Florida have become more affordable since then. So we need to get other states to repeal their growth management laws. We need to get the Denver Regional Council of Government to abolish its urban growth boundary, and that means electing people who are anti-urban growth boundaries, anti-growth management, to your city councils, because the city councils are the ones who send appoint members to the Denver Regional Council of Governments.
Right, right. Randall O'Toole, we'll continue these important discussions. You can find him at ti.org/the anti-planner, and that's Randall O'Toole. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have these discussions because of sponsors. I want to say thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show, as well as the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their sponsorship of the show as well. Another great sponsor is John Boson with Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Shooting outside can be limited, but at Franktown Firearms' 10-lane, 30-yard indoor range, the weather is always just right. Franktown's range supports handguns, shotguns, rifles up to 50 caliber, and even black powder loads. And safety equipment is provided for free. Since Franktown's range is connected with their gun store, they have a full selection of rental firearms so you can try before you buy to ensure that it's a good fit for you. And if you become a member at Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range, you can even access the range after hours. The range is very well ventilated with fresh air constantly, so you can breathe easy while you shoot. Most importantly, Franktown Firearms is a family-owned and operated gun store. At Franktown, you will be treated with respect as their client because they want you to be confident with your shooting and keep coming back. So use your own gun or try a new one on the range at Franktown Firearms today. Go to klzradio.com/Franktown to find out more. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Indeed, it's Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And Glenn Jansen had his camera out at the Colorado premiere of A Climate Conversation, and you were there, Alan Thomas.
It was a great time, and you know, it's a great documentary, Kim, and hats off to you and the producer for that, because it's, you know, a lot of times we get politically charged about ideas about climate change, and it was refreshing to have a documentary that was just fact-based. Like, you didn't mention crazy leftists or progressive policies. It was purely, hey, what are the facts about CO2? What are the facts about going completely carbon neutral? You know, what are the facts about this? And so it's a great documentary if you want your maybe somebody that stands a little bit left of center to watch something and just have an inquiring mind about it. It's a great documentary, and I wholeheartedly recommend it.
Well, and you can actually view it at aclimateconversation.com, and could make interesting conversations at Thanksgiving dinner. But again, Jansen Photography, Glenn and Mary Jansen, true entrepreneurs, and they help you create these treasured memories, whether or not it's portraits of families, children, senior portraits, and of course they can help you out with that important photograph for your business or political career as well. On the line with me is my dear friend Paula Sarles. She is the president of the USMC Memorial Foundation. She is a Gold Star wife. She's a Marine veteran, and she and her team are working diligently to raise the money to remodel the Marine Memorial out at 6th and Colfax, which is the official Marine Memorial. Paula Sarles, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Great to have you. And I can't believe it's November, Paula, but what that means is that Veterans Day is right around the corner.
That's right. Just a little bit over a week from tomorrow. And we're excited.
You've got an amazing event planned. People can get more information by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. But tell us just a little bit about it. And it is so important to stop and reflect and appreciate our veterans, in particular our Vietnam veterans. Finally, people are saying thank you. But what you have planned out at the memorial is going to be a great day.
Yes, it is. We have at 10:30, we'll have Toys for Tots, and we're going to be collecting toys all day for that program. So we invite everybody to stop by and drop off a toy. And we're very grateful to Beckley's Reserve Unit that's helping us with that. And then at 1:45, we have new recruits coming in from the recruiting station in Denver. And they'll be swearing them in, and that's always a nice thing to see, and just encourage those young people that were there, and we appreciate what they're doing. And then at 2 o'clock, the official ceremony starts with the anthem and a flyover by the award-winning Rocky Mountain Renegades, and that's always fun to see. And our guest speaker is Lieutenant Colonel Luis Izquierdo, and he is the new commanding officer for Beckley's Combat Logistics Battalion.
Well, it's going to be a great event next Saturday on November 11th. And when you and I were talking earlier this week, you also said something about breakfast for Beckley as well. Did that occur yet, or what?
No, that's in the middle of December. We take the Women Marines Association, different hat that I wear, and we collect gift cards and things for their gift bags. And so if anybody's interested in that, they can give me a call or email me. My number is 303-345-1645, and WMACO1.comcast.net. Okay. WMACO1 at Comcast.net, and I can tell you where to take things. But we really would appreciate gift cards if anybody's interested in donating a $10 or $15, $25 gift card. It'd be great.
Okay. And again, that will be in December, and so we'll talk more about that as we get closer to that, Polisarles. And again, the event next week. That will be next Saturday, Veterans Day, out at the USMC Memorial Foundation. You've just got a great day planned on that. Again, people can help you by buying a brick to honor their military service, to donate. What is that website again?
It's usmcmemorialfoundation.org.
Again, that's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Polisarles, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too. Alan Thomas, thanks for being in studio. And again, your piece that we will be rolling out, Now I Know How the Holocaust Happened. Be sure and be signed up for my email newsletter. Just a minute. Final thought, jam-packed show. What would you like to end this with?
Yeah, it's a lot to deal with for sure. So hopefully people will go and read the piece, because I feel like there's quite a bit we weren't able to get to. But again, you know, just to put a bow on it, progressivism and multiculturalism have failed us. You know, we're seeing the effects of that. The fact that we have students protesting for Hamas, for these brutal crimes against humanity. We just need to call these ideologies out and say, you know what? There's no defense for these. They failed us. You know, the brilliance of the Nuremberg trials after World War II was when we brought all these Nazis up, these SS folks up, and they said, you know, I thought it would maybe be wrong, but I was really just following orders, mm-hmm. right? I was just doing what I was told. Mm-hmm. And what the Nuremberg trials did is we as humanity, we came together and said, no, there's no excuse. That you don't get to say you were told to do that. That is a crime against humanity. You should have known better. You should have done something. And what we're seeing happen by Hamas is exactly the same. It is a crime against humanity. There is no culture that can support those types of actions. There is no sort of history that supports that type of barbaric acts. And we need to call it out as it is. And to defend Hamas by using multiculturalism, by using progressivism, by saying our experts know what they're talking about and we don't, that's no longer acceptable. These are failed ideologies. They have failed our students. They failed us as a country, and they failed the UN, and we need to abandon them and go back to reason and logic and natural rights.
Absolutely. And read our Constitution. That would be a good idea.
That's a good start for us and for everyone around the world.
Absolutely. Our quote for the end of the show is James Madison. Susan Kochevar sent this over. The essence of government is power, and power lodged as it must be in human hands will ever be liable to abuse. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.